said, when a horse brayed there, it was a lot different than from a nicker there. Mm-hmm. The nicker there, when it just sort of go, and then when they brayed it, we got an old mule over there that was trained, and when the dinner bell rung, that old mule brayed, and she went to the other end of the road, and you could beat her there all day, and she wouldn't move one step. You had to take her out and bring her into the barn. That was it.
She was tired.
That's right. She knew what time it was. And when that dinner bell rang, I mean, she had that horse at bray. She knew what it was.
And animal, or little hard-shell creatures, are they?
We don't have those up. Oh, the turtles
and terrapins.
Now, the terrapin is what we call the upland, where you find them in the upland. Mm-hmm. Turtles, you find them in your water or swampy type land.
And you mentioned bullfrogs and toad frogs, and you have
tree frogs.
You mentioned a sawhorse. How about something like this that you put?
Now that was a wood rack that we put our wood, pole wood. We'd cut a sometime. We'd run out of wood there, and we'd have to go in the woods and cut pole wood, and we'd bring it up here, and we'd make racks like you're talking about, and we'd drop that in there, and we'd take a crosscut saw and just keep sawing on it there. We'd have to.
And what would you sharpen, let's say, a knife in the kitchen?
With a file.
And a knife for
grind rock.
Would be a grind rock.
We always sharpen our axes there on a grind rock there. And we sharpen our butcher knife in the kitchen there on a fire, just a common ordinary fire.
And if you had a small rock like this that you might carry around?
That was emery rock.
That's emery rock.
The little long ones like that was a wet rock.
Well, they call them, they were a carborundum file there. Now, we use them a lot there to sharpen our knives, and we sharpen our worn machine blades there with those carborundum files. And they would really put an edge on our, especially a butcher knife.
You was talking about the stones there. Did you ever hear of a mad stone?
No.
Now that was something that they used there when a mad dog come through. I know it bit the four of my oldest children, Alvis, Mary Lou, Ann Lee, and Olene. There was 18 months difference in their ages. And a mad dog came through and bit all of them. And this neighbor over here, Mr. Harm Shern, had a mad stone. And he kept that mad stone soaking in sweet milk. And they carried the kids over there, and he stuck that mad stone to them, and it stuck just like it.
Hmm.
And it stayed stuck until it fell off. When it fell off there, they was all right.
And when they fall off, you'd soak them in sweet milk, and that sweet milk soaked the
poison
out of them.
Right,
and there is still one in the county today.
And the doctors laugh at that remedy there, but yet I do know that my daddy killed a dog, and he sent his head off to Memphis, and he come back as rabies. And they carried him to the mad stone, and they did not take the rabies shot because they didn't know what they would back in those times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my nephew down here was bit by a mad dog, and he had to take those rabid shots, and they were horrible.
Yeah.
They were horrible.
Not much bigger than your thumbnail.
What's it made of, wonder?
It is supposed to have come out of the hoof of a certain type of deer. And this one is broken, and the man has it tied together with a string. And he has been bitten several times by black widow spiders, and he never goes to the doctor from the bites. He always uses that.
And he has to draw out the
poison.
That's what I cannot understand. I cannot understand if that dog was rabid, and the doctor says that these mad stones are not effective against rabies, and daddy killed a dog and sent the head off, and he come back as a rabid dog, rabies dog.